Check one, two.
We are given more identifying markers of genuine worshipers of Jesus Christ. Many claim faith in Jesus, claim to be Christian, but here in the book of James, we find tangible signs in a person's life to determine if they or if we are true believers in the Holy God's gospel of Jesus Christ. Being saved is more than just making a claim. It's more than the sinner's prayer. It is submitting to Jesus' call to come and die, death to how we have always lived, and come to live in him through Jesus Christ, living for him as Lord, not as our special friend or Jesus is my boyfriend or the Lord is my grandpa, but as God of our lives, love, obedience, worship of him with our lives. In James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, we have some tangible characteristics of the redeemed, characteristics of those who possess God's wisdom, which also helps the genuine believer identify when they slip from God's wisdom into worldly wisdom. It's a very important passage because we are in a culture that is into deciding for themselves what is true and what is spiritual. Some today are claiming to be Christians and believe Jesus saved them, but from what, they're not sure. But they are saved because they say they are, under their own terms, in their own way, according to what they feel is true of Jesus. And when you push them just a little on what they believe and expose what they believe as false according to Scripture, you are marked as unloving, uninviting, and close-minded. But brothers and sisters, the Bible is God's objective truth, and he tells us what is true, and he tells us about salvation. Not only is this morning's passage important for those reasons, it's also important because it helps the true believer discern God's wisdom from worldly wisdom. When you're making everyday decisions, when you read a book, doing a study, listening to what is promoted as Christian music, when you listen to a TV preacher or a podcast, it's critical to be able to discern what is from God and what is of the world, what is false. Today, many believers are being deceived by false teachers who say some biblical truth, and at the same time, they say some false teaching. I recently heard this famous guy named Joseph Prince do this with the word repentance. He gave the Greek definition of repentance, which was correct, and then quickly moved into saying that every time we decide to have positive thinking, we are repenting. So he destroyed, he reduced, and falsely promoted the word repent to positive thinking. That's not wisdom from God. And we need to recognize this and stay away from guys like that. There are a lot out there. Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland believes that he can control the weather. I saw him on YouTube say that. Bethel Church, Paula White, Joyce Myers, false teachers who promote this incredibly tricky stream of mysticism, mystical teaching, contemplative prayer, claims that we are gods, that some can predict future events, that we can speak things into existence, that we can hear God's voice like the apostles did and say, God told me, like the apostles did. There is teaching being given in the name of the Bible, but it is not from the Bible, but completely a self-focused misuse of the Bible, not from God. but from the imagination of humans. Church, we must learn to discern God's wisdom from God's word, from the world's wisdom. And we can. So let's submit to the Lord and to his word in prayer, and then look at James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Let's pray. Father, we admit that there is a lot going on in the world in your name, and it doesn't line up with Scripture. And it's uncomfortable to talk about it. It's uncomfortable. We would rather be nice and loving and not name names or name false teaching that's out there. Father, help us. Help us to be people of your word that can discern. Grow us in our discerning, Lord. Grow us in our discerning and our love for you and your truth, and not to keep our reputation intact as being nice and going along with false teaching that's going on. Father, please give us ears to hear, eyes to see, receptive minds and hearts to your word. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Isn't that awesome? All Christians can and should ask God for wisdom. And God's wisdom means God's truth understood and applied to one's life. And here in James chapter 3, verse 13, James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? It's like saying, hey, listen up. If you want to know if you or another person has received God's wisdom, you want to know if you understand God's truth and are applying it correctly to your life, here is the way. Here is a way. There is a way to distinguish God's wisdom from the world's wisdom, which is based on the world's truth and the world's standards. So verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So did you notice the word show? To show is to display. It can be seen. God's wisdom can be seen in the genuine believer in two ways. In their good conduct, which refers to how one conducts their life, the manner of life, how one lives. And two, by their works, their good deeds, good actions, specific good works. So knowing and understanding God's truth and applying it to one's life, God's wisdom, can be seen in how the believer lives. Do they live out God's wisdom perfectly? No. But big picture, as one being sanctified by God, as one with a repentant heart, yes, it is seen often and regularly and consistently. And the passage says, the godly life and godly works will be done with humility. They'll be done in humility. Humility has to be present with God's wisdom. It has to be present. And here's why. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is a gift of grace from God. Not of your work, not of my work. I didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. We didn't earn our salvation. A gift given to us by God. John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. But to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You and I didn't decide to become saved. God saved us. It was the will of God to save us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23 to 25. have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may, perhaps, grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. God may grant them repentance. Give them the ability, the gift to turn away from sin and turn to God. God's wisdom is always accompanied by humility because the true believer knows that only God is holy and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God the Son came and died for our sins, and God chose to save us in Jesus. Salvation is a gift from God. Faith, repentance, born again, all of it. Forgiveness is given. Righteousness is applied to us. This is God saving people. This is truth revealed to us from God. Salvation rests in God's hands. So how can we be anything but humble? We were dead, and he made us alive. Dead people do not make themselves alive. Spiritually dead people don't decide to make themselves spiritually alive. God's truth applied to our lives, which is wisdom, always comes with humility, because the receiver of salvation is a recipient. There is no place for pride or boasting. Our existence and standing before the holy God is not deserved, but given as a gift. We can't look down at sinners, not the worst of sinners, because we were exactly like them, in the same position, yet we were rescued by God's grace. There was nothing special about us, but God chose us. We have nothing. We have no standing to look down on the worst sinner, but rather hope and prayer in the Lord that they too will be rescued. A sign of the world's wisdom is pride and arrogance. Look at all the good work that I've done. I'm just doing it for the Lord. I really love the Lord, and the Lord really loves me, probably more than he loves you, because I'm so good. I do such good things. Look at me, the super Christian. Don't you wish you were me? A godly life, godly works are done in humility. They're done out of worship and gratitude and love to God for his love and mercy and grace given to us, and because he is God. Wisdom from God shows itself in a godly life and godly works encased by humility, characterized by humility. That's the first sign or test to recognize God's wisdom. In verse 14 to 15 is provided another sign or a test, this one to discern worldly wisdom, human wisdom, or false wisdom. The world comes up with its own version of truth, its standards, its objectives, what is to be worshipped, who is God. And that is applied to one's life. Wisdom, the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is characterized by, verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Those living with the world's wisdom, their hearts, what they believe and understand and desire, their feelings, are motivated by jealousy and selfish ambition. They see what others have and they want it. They think and feel they should have that thing just as much as anyone else, and it's unfair if they don't have it. They can't be happy for others because they want what others have. They're envious. Every heart that is not worshiping the Lord is a self-centered heart. Every lost person is worshiping self and therefore has selfish ambitions. They would never admit it. They would never admit that because they can't. Only the Holy Spirit and God's Word can evaluate and expose that. People embracing the world's wisdom can be identified by jealousy and selfish ambition. Just listen carefully to what the world promotes, and you'll hear jealousy and selfishness underneath it. This is one of the driving forces behind marketing and consumerism, our economy. Listen carefully to what some of these false teachers are saying, and you'll see jealousy and selfish ambition driving them. Prosperity theology is just prosperous for a few and always for the one who is preaching it. You notice that? They are rich, the rest of us are poor. This is the same pattern that James has been following as in chapter 2. Faith apart from works is dead. Faith is seen by godly works. Here in chapter 3, those works are done with the humility that comes from God's wisdom. Worldly wisdom is seen in one's jealousy and selfishness. The wisdom one has embraced is seen in how they live. If your life is characterized by jealousy and selfishness, don't talk about having wisdom from God. You don't. Verse 14, you are false to the truth because God's wisdom doesn't have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, but humility. Verse 15, jealousy and selfish ambition are indicators that one does not have wisdom that comes down from above, does not have that. That heart, evidenced by those characteristics, that person is all about standing out from everybody else, all about self and being special. I'm not normal. I'm not like everybody else. I'm special. And we see this a lot on Facebook and Instagram, people trying so hard to show everyone how awesome and wonderful they are. The lives that they have are so incredibly great. How smart they are, how special and beautiful they are, and all the wonderful things they do for people and all the wonderful thoughts that they have. Jealousy and selfish ambition is the driving force in the heart where Jesus Christ is not the king. But Edgar, how can you say that? You're judging people. Well, if Jesus is not Lord of the person, who is? Who is? Self? The devil? It is some other God which controls them to be all about themselves. Godly hearts, new creations in Christ, do godly works with humility. Humility forged in understanding the holiness of God, His mercy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No jealousy or selfish ambition. But you and I know that we ourselves and other Christians have times when we function with the world's wisdom. We are jealous and have selfish ambition, often on a daily basis. And so we shy away from evaluating people and what they say. Who am I to say anything about that? That type of a thing. But that's a wrong position to take hold of. We evaluate self and others and things we hear and see with God's word. Not my word. Everything is to be discerned according to God's word. So we all come underneath the evaluation of God's word. And therefore, there is a difference between those that are found in Christ and those that are not found in Christ. True believers, we do sin in this way. We do. But we are born again through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We still sin, but we are not controlled by sin because we have been set free from slavery to sin in Christ. Yet we are still not capable of living the godly life, doing good works, having God's wisdom with humility according to God's word. We can't do any of that on our own without the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's work changing us, which God tells us is happening in the true believer. So the redeemed person knows they are sinning against the holy God with jealousy and selfish ambition. And what do? They repent. They recognize it and repent. The redeemed know what verse 15 is getting at. That worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, it's demonic. Not only is worldly wisdom interested in the here and now and catering to the self, the sinful nature, but it's void of God. It's demonic, always undermining God's word. This is what Satan was doing in the Garden of Eden, speaking to Eve about eating from the forbidden tree in Genesis 3, verse 4 to 5. He says, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Just lies, demonic wisdom coming to Eve. Or 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 to 4, and then 13 to 15. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deed. That's worldly wisdom, disguised as Bible truth. But it's different from what God has revealed. It is dangerous because it is demonic. The redeemed know this through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, through scriptural preaching. And when they participate in this worldly demonic wisdom, they repent. They repent. And that is a sign of the humility of wisdom, which is from above. Those not redeemed, they don't repent. Repentance doesn't enter their mind. So because the Christian still sins, does not mean we shouldn't discern what is God's wisdom from what is the world's wisdom. With the Holy Spirit and God's word, we discern what's happening in here, in our hearts and our minds, and in the world around us. Verse 16, and we can recognize this earthly, unspiritual, demonic, worldly wisdom, because where it is, there is disorder and every vile practice, destroying relationships, bringing confusion, rebellion, a free-for-all, anything-goes atmosphere. Nothing of ultimate good comes from it. All of it leading to hell. It's serious. We don't want to mess around with and embrace and submit to the wisdom of the world, but run from it. And when we sin, repent. It's terrible. But there are billions who embrace it and reject the Lord and his wisdom. Verses 17 to 18 describe the characteristics of wisdom from above, characteristics of God's wisdom. It is pure, free of contamination, in the sense that, big picture, the redeemed have hearts that love the Lord and want to obey him, following his word, his wisdom, loving his pure way by the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of repentance. God's wisdom is characterized by peace, peaceable, peacemakers. They don't stir up this selfish conflict. Their humility brings peace. They're gentle, which is being fair with respect, compassionate, considerate, not dealing with people in extreme or excessive ways. They're open to reason, submissive, willing to yield, accommodating, but not in a mindless going along with whatever, but in a teachable way. God's mercy, God's wisdom is characterized by mercy, giving forgiveness, reaching out and helping, like the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, or like in James chapter 2, verse 8 to 13, ready to support, love moving into action. God's wisdom is seen by a life producing good fruit. All the good works that James has been talking about in chapter 2, verse 14 to 20. The one with genuine faith in the Lord lives their life for the Lord. Therefore, there will be good works, good fruit present in their life. God's wisdom produces one who is impartial, not showing favoritism, as mentioned in James 2, verse 1 to 9. And the person with God's wisdom displays sincerity. They are transparent. They're trustworthy. What you see is what you get. They're not hypocrites or double-minded, but stable in the Lord, truly loving the Lord, and a desire to glorify the Lord with their lives. They are the real deal. They are the real worshipers of God. This is what the one who is a true believer, this is what their godly life, good works, humble life lived in God's wisdom, this is what it looks like. These are the ones who, as verse 18 says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. True believers living out God's wisdom in peace, producing a God-pleasing life, living according to God in humility and peace, producing a life pleasing to God. It is the opposite of jealousy and selfish ambition, earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom, which creates disorder and every vile practice. In an atmosphere of peace, a truly saved person will prove their salvation, live out their salvation, and it will be seen in their daily lives, their good works, which come out of a heart that is renewed by the Holy Spirit. They will live out God's wisdom, which is knowing God's truth, understanding it, and applying it to one's life, which produces a God-pleasing life. John MacArthur summarizes with, if a person professes saving faith in Jesus Christ and claims to have wisdom from God, but has a heart that is proud, arrogant, and self-centered, and lives a life that is worldly, sensual, and self-serving, his claims to salvation are false. He is lying against the truth. Again, the genuine believer, through the Holy Spirit and God's word, will recognize when they slip into using earthly wisdom, and they'll repent. Why? Because the world's wisdom is the antithesis of God's wisdom. It's the opposite direction. And therefore, the new creation in Christ will be convicted and corrected by the Holy Spirit who resides in them. Church, we need to learn to discern what's God's wisdom and what is of the world. We need to hold our lives, our thinking, our beliefs up to Scripture to know if we are accepting the true gospel that has been revealed to us through Scripture. The Bible is the objective truth of God, not you, not me, or anyone, but the Bible. We need to learn to recognize the world's wisdom coming through people who are claiming to be speaking God's word so that we will not be deceived by them. Church, we have God's word and the Holy Spirit revealing to us God's wisdom. Therefore, let's follow the words of Ephesians 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Let that be so of us. Let's pray together. Father, we confess that we sin and we embrace often the world's wisdom and push your wisdom aside or are just blind to your wisdom or whatever. Father, forgive us and thank you for forgiving us. We want to be worshiping you with our lives. We want to know your truth, to understand it, to embrace who you say you are, who we are standing before you. We want to embrace your revelation to us, the Bible. And we want to base our lives on your revelation to us. And we want to be dependent on your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to your revelation in the Bible. Father, help us. We need help. We often get distracted by the latest popular group or popular church or popular speaker, popular author. And we go along just because they have the title Christian on them. Lord, we know we can't do that anymore, and we need to discern. So we ask, please help us to be dependent on you, to search your truth, to be discerners according to your word. I said you would continue to bless our congregation with elders that know your word, that are great discerners. Thank you for how you have blessed us in the past, and we trust in you for blessing us more in the future. And bless the studies that are going on in our church, that we're being truthful to your word, that we are looking at your word and declaring what it says. So, Father, come, keep us straight on your word, correct us, and encourage us through your word. You are so